to Dave Gott. He's coming back. The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very elegant. Ahead on to Dave.
Hello and welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. I'm joined by Ray Hickson. And Ray, we've got the $10 million Golden Eagle. For me, I think this is arguably the race of the year because I've spoken to a lot of people. Everyone's tipping something different. There's so many different angles. You know, it's almost $4 the field. Like, you can definitely go and find some value if you want to. We've got international raiders. It's got everything, this race.
It certainly does. Look, it's developed. This is the fifth running of the James Squire Golden Eagle this year. And all four winners so far have been high-class Group 1 performers. This year, I would dare say that the winner will be similar. We've got, I think it was 8 individual Group 1 winners, something along the lines of that. But we've got Group 1 quality form all the way through this field. And it's such an open race.
Yep.
So everybody's going to have an opinion, which is great.
Yep.
You know, we don't have a really short price favourite.
Which is good.
Which is also good. And, you know, looking outside, we can see a few clouds hanging around. So there's forecast for anywhere between 1 or 2 millimetres up to 10 millimetres at Rose Hill by tomorrow evening. So if we get the short end of that, won't have any impact on the racing at all. If we get the long end of it, well, things could change dramatically through the day. So we've got to be a little bit wary as it goes on. But we've got Rail True. Under normal circumstances, Rail True good four. At this time of year, you'd be thinking you'd want to be right up on the pace. But if...
It all comes down to the weather gods.
Yeah, if we do get that little bit of... I don't think we're going to get rain that's going to significantly... alter the track condition, as far as I don't think we're going to be dealing with anything worse than probably a soft five through the day. But it just opens up that possibility of horses coming down the middle that may not be there if we were dealing with, you know, a borderline good three. So that's going to be something we'll have to adapt to during the day. But that's the way I'm kind of thinking. I'm just thinking about the day as being a fair playing ground.
Yep, no, I agree.
Because I think that's the most likely outcome. But obviously, as punters, you've got to adapt.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's Rail True, maybe just off the fence. But as you said, it all just comes down to if there's the rain that comes, if it comes more on the day, it's all about adapting. But look, purely right now, we're on a good four at Rose Hill, and it's a great card there. Now, the speed in the Eagle. How did you see it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Look, on paper, there doesn't look to be high speed, but you've got a few notable on-pace horses drawn wide. So I would imagine Golden Mile looks to get across. I mean, he led the Epsom field from barrier 17, I think it was.
Yeah, it's definitely...
Something like that. So he got across. So I'd imagine they'd look to do that again. I thought two of the Gay Waterhouse Adrian Bott runners, the two imports, Coin Toss and New Endeavour, will certainly be amongst the pace. Both horses jumped really well in the Silver Eagle.
Yeah.
New Endeavour pushed forward and got caught wide. Coin Toss drifted well back through the field. So I think he's got blinkers on, and with barrier 17 here, I can't imagine him doing anything else but going forward.
Yeah, I definitely think they light New Endeavour up there tomorrow. Mm. And as you said, Golden Mile, well, didn't it show some gate speed?
Yeah. Of the horses drawn inside, obviously Pericles will be able to use barrier 1 and be thereabouts. What does Oban Buramai do? Does he get away with them? Where does he, you know...
I think midfield. Look, in Japan, he does have okay speed, but I think he can definitely be midfield. Like, you look at his pattern in Japan, and he does look to get back a bit, but if you...
They go quick in Japan.
They actually run races at genuine tempos. But he does have gate speed. You look at some of his earlier starts. We'll get to him. He's only had 5 starts, but he can jump and find a position. Okay. So don't be thinking he's going to be out the back just because you see him flash home in a few races in Japan. He can be midfield.
Okay. Well,
Communist, Osipenko, I thought they... Legato, they can be handy enough as well.
I don't think Amelia's jewel will be buried right back. I think they'll look to use that barrier to a degree.
And obviously Hawaii 5-0.
Hawaii 5-0. Redina is another horse that's been racing handy. If he passes his vet checks today and takes his place, he's got that barrier. So he and Golden Mile engaged in a bit of a speed battle in the King Charles. So it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out. Look, I don't imagine we're going to be dealing with a slowly run race when there's $10 million.
Look, it's a bit like the Everest. You know, on paper you see, oh, this is only going to be moderate to slow, but
they went
they went very quick. Like, this is going to be genuinely run, and I truly believe that. So,
all right. So, who did you land on?
Who I landed on? I'm going with the international raider Oban Burumai.
How many times did you practice that name?
Heaps. No, well, I was calling him Urumbibai, and I need all the help I can get when it comes to some of these.
Actually rolls off the tongue quite
nicely. Once you get it, it's good. Look, the profile of this horse is, now, he's lightly raced. He's only had the 5 starts. He's won a Group 3 in Japan. He's placed in a Group 1 where he started in the market. Now, a Group 1 placing lines up very well over here in Australia. He's not a Group 1 horse, but the Group 2, Group 3 form lines over there are very strong. For me, Japanese gallopers, pound for pound, are the best in the world. So he's run when he did win that Group 3 Arlington Cup. Now, they went at a very fast overall pace rating. So that's actually when you will see the best of him, because I don't think he is that sit and sprint type. His best attribute is the closing speed. He's that real line chaser where, out of this whole field, I think him, Kovalika, probably going to have that best last 100 metres. Just don't hope he gets too far back, but I do think he could be midfield, as we spoke about before. Clockwise direction, massive tick for him. I think he goes much better clockwise than anti-clockwise. I thought he got on the wrong leg a couple of times there in that Group 1. If the gaps come at $11, I just think in a wide open race, he's a great gamble for mine. I'll go through another one who I think is another good bet at big odds, but to purely on top pick, Oban Burumai. And I know we've lost the star jockey, Japanese jockey, but Josh Parr going on, I think, to tick. You know, Rose Hill's not easy.
Yeah.
And it would have been 20 years, I think, since he would have ridden there.
Yeah, yeah. It is a real shame. He knows the horse quite well as well.
Apparently he used to have an entourage, speaking to someone. 300 people used to hang around him. That's how famous he was.
Gee, that'd be...
That's a big...
That'd be tough. Yeah. Good luck to him. Josh Parr won't need 300 people around him, but he'll have more than 300 people around him if he gets the horse.
Yeah, I'll be one of them. what about yourself, right?
I settled on Legato, number 18. I don't think we know how good Legato is at the moment. She's had 9 starts. A bit like Think About It, you know. She sort of tends to keep winning. She's had 9 starts for 7 wins, and you look at the 2 defeats, and she should have won the Karaka 3-year-old classic against Prowess. She was badly held up there. She started a short price favourite, and her only other defeat was a narrow one to Skew If in a Group 1 first up this spring. She was supposed to run in a Group 1 second up, but they decided to miss that race because it was about a heavy 15, and we all know how heavy New Zealand tracks can get. So she went around in a handicap Matamata Cup for her build-up race about a month ago. And, you know, she won the Australian Guineas, beating Attrition, who unfortunately won't be here on Saturday. And she was well-supported that day too. I think she can make some use of the barrier, like, and be around about the midfield-ish kind of mark. And, you know, look, like a lot of these, she's been set specifically for this race, and she's here third up, I think, ready to go. So I'm happy to be with her, but I've just... There's a lot of good horses we're going to be leaving out of our top 4 here.
That Australian Guineas, her last 100 metres was fantastic. Like, she had no right really to launch the way she did. Like, that was... She really wanted to win that race. Great action, improving type. Like, I can understand why you found
it. I think we've got a lot of respect for the New Zealand form at the moment.
Definitely.
You know, they've got some really nice horses going around. Obviously, Prowess. Obviously, Imperatrix in the sprinting ranks. You know, Legato's only been to Australia once for a win in a Group 1. So, you know, like I said, I'm really not sure how good she is yet. You know, I think she's about $8 or so. I think that's, you know, fair enough. Now we've got so many dangers.
There is so many dangers. Now, we've got to talk about the favourite, which is Amelia's Jewel. I just saw the last tick. It's gone into $3.70. Look, for me, she comes out of the two rack, started favourite. The last two winners have come out of the two rack.
The last two winners have run a little bit better in the two rack.
Correct.
But she potentially had an excuse.
Yeah, she's probably the profiler horse that people might want to find. Like, but geez, the $3.70, she's very well found. She can absolutely win. She's got adaptability, acceleration. That win in the Stock Stakes where she broke the Moonee Valley track record. I know the track was playing very fast that night over the 1,600 metres, was a fantastic win. Good draw, lots of ticks, but in such a wide open race, the 370 I thought was just well found, but there's no way I'll leave her out of my quaddie.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, if she comes here with just those couple of wins and not the ninth against a name, well, maybe she's a little bit shorter in the market.
Well, she's SP favourite every single one of her runs. I know a lot of it's WA, but
she's got a big boom on her.
Yeah.
You know, with horses with boom, horses with hype,
yeah,
you know, they do tend to start a little bit under the odds. Look, I guess you've got I think Simon Miller said to me during the week, you know, everything's good with her, so we've just got to back her in.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, he didn't want to take a knee-jerk reaction and throw the blinkers on.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he felt there was an excuse for a failure in the Toorak, which was potentially a little bit of a bug.
Yeah, okay.
It never really showed up in a blood, but apparently there was something going around in the stables where she was based at Flemington.
It was just too bad to be true.
It was. She didn't.
Yeah.
She's never had a horse run past her in her life prior to that race. So, I mean, if that's a little niggle, if the fact that she's coming off a flop, even if there was excuses, you know, she comes here for the first time, Rose Hill Big Field. Look, we saw Arcadia Queen come here a few years ago.
Yeah.
Running this race. Obviously, she ran in the Everest going into it. I think, well, at that stage of the career, Arcadia Queen was probably a better horse.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah.
Having a bit of a handle on the WA form. Where she gets to from the gate is going to be fascinating, because Simon Miller seems to think that you can just put her wherever you park her wherever you want. You look at some of her barriers, she drew 14 of 14 in the Quokka, 14 of 14 in the Let's Elope, she drew 9 of 10 in the Stocks, and she drew 12 of 16 in the Toorak. Last time she drew a barrier was in the Roma Cup. She drew barrier 2. She settled midfield in a 1200 metre race at Ascot.
Yep.
So she's going to have the early pace to put herself in that first sort of 6 or 8 in run.
Yep.
And
got D-Lane on. D-Lane. Fantastic jockey.
She's got a great turn of foot at the end of her races. She is dangerous if she is the real deal. Now, beating Pride of Jenny and beating Life Lessons in a 2 group 2 wins, even though the times were fast, whether that's good enough, we don't know. But I suppose we've got to take the line through the Quokka where she split Overpass, who we know.
Yep.
And Bella Nipotina, who we know quite well, with solid form over this side of the country. So,
yeah, I agree.
She's a fascinating one. She could come out and you know, do an I'm Thunderstruck or something like that and just blouse them at the end of the race. Or she might not quite be up to it. We just don't know. If you like her, you're going to get the best price you've got for a long time.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But, for me, it's all about price. And with those questions, I just find it hard to dive into the 370. I'd rather take 370, I always say it, in a Newcastle Maiden than in a group. I know it doesn't have the group one status, but it is dead set a group one plus. So that's the way I want to look at it. We've got to quickly move on now to Hawaii 5-0. Obviously, the lone horse to come out of the Everest.
He ran well in the Everest.
Yep.
I've got kind of two thoughts on his Everest run. Either he was looking for more ground and, you know, it was a run of a horse looking for 1,500 metres.
Mm.
Or that midfield finish is about where he stands at the really top tree.
Yep.
We're going to find out here, but barrier 4, he'll get every possible chance. So long as the track stays, you know,
yes, he's
on the better side, on the top half of the 1-5 scale.
Yep.
I think
he, to me, the way he's racing, I think he's looking for that 14-15. I thought he was really solid in the Everest. I actually thought he was a rough hope in it. There was four wide out there. I know it's only the one turn, but still working in that fast pace, four wide working in a fast pace, is always hard to do, and he just never shirked the task to the line. And so that just tells me getting out to that 14-15 where he can just find that bit more of a rhythm and not have to be chasing. And Nash is just going to put him in the perfect spot, good platform, high-pressure race, suits this horse. Again, it's easy third pick for me. I did mark Hawaii 5-0 favourite.
Mm-hmm.
But in saying that, $4.20, I couldn't get him that short.
Yeah, look, we haven't seen a whole lot of horses come out of the Everest into the Golden Eagle. We've seen some.
Yep.
The best result was Sunlight in 2019 when it was run down by Colding.
Oh, lucky Colding somehow got out still.
Yeah. But it's a different scenario now because this, I think, is the first year that the Golden Eagle has been 3 weeks away from the Everest.
Yep.
So the backup was a little bit tougher going 12 to 15 on the back of 2 weeks. So it sets up okay for Hawaii 5-0 because we know he's a proven 1,400 metre horse.
Yep.
At least. And he ran third behind Think About It in Stradbroke. So look, I actually don't have him in my top four.
Yep.
But that's just one of those horses that could easily be in your top four. Because he has a good case.
And that's a great segue to the stable mate. For me, Kovalika. It is your sectional star. Look, it's dead set easy second pick if it draws a gate for me. But wow, the wide draw again. Like, he's just had no luck, this horse, with where he's drawn and where he's had to get to. But he just hasn't been suited to these sit and sprint race shapes. All three runs this preparation. He's got really good form lines. His sectionals were outstanding their last start. I even saw in the jockey quotes, Tommy Berry said it gave him goosebumps how fast he sprinted.
Yeah.
Look, he's going to get to the outside and going to let down very hard. The blinkers go on. I don't think they, in the $10 million race, they're just going to snag back to last year.
I don't think
that
so.
That would be crazy for me. I think they have to push forward and hope to get that 3-wide running line.
I must admit, I thought he was gone after his first up run.
Yeah,
I thought he hadn't come
back.
The Derby
got him.
But you know, he probably should have won the Epsom.
Yeah, should have won the Epsom, and
he was enormous, as you said, in the King Charles from the outside gate where they just went back to last, and as you said, he ran the best splits of the race. Look, he is an interesting one because, as we've said, where he's drawn in 16, well, he's got Coin Toss and Golden Mile directly outside him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't say that he's the horse that's going to be, you know, riding the speed, but with blinkers on first time, I just wonder whether Tommy will come out and have a look and see whether he can position himself around midfield, even if it is in the 3-wide line.
Yeah.
Because he's got potential speed drawn directly outside him to give him that cart across. Even if it's just behind them, he can come across and perhaps put himself in that midfield position.
Yeah.
If that's the case and you're able to run on, well, then he's dangerous.
Yeah, like for
me... Big-time dangerous.
Yeah, for me, the Rosehill 1,500-metre start, I don't really care that much about the barriers, but it's just the racing pattern of this horse. But I think you... But we know this is a grand final target.
Well, we're going to get a very good idea, though, because two races earlier, we have the four pillars.
Yep.
Now, it's a midway, obviously, but it's over 1,500 metres and there'll be a field of 20.
Yeah.
So it's basically, I won't say a practice run, but it's going to give us a good idea of how the track is playing from that starting point.
Yeah.
Of whether you can sit in that 3-wide line or whatever, peel out it and run on, or whether you've got to be, you know, close to the speed or close to the inside. Yes, they are completely different races, completely different levels, but at least we've got a track distance preview as such to give us an idea of what to expect a couple of races later. Look, Tommy Berry's been so bullish about this horse this week, like even to the point of saying he was gutted when he saw the barrier draw.
Yep.
You know, because he thinks this horse is just ready to win.
It is, and you look at its ratings. It is it is ready to step big time.
Yep. I do have him in my top four.
Yep.
But yeah, look, you know, if the barrier was 10 instead of 16,
yep,
I wouldn't bat an eye.
Yeah.
But just that little bit close to the outside that just makes it tricky for Tommy. But look, it's not impossible.
Well, you're getting $11 or $10 now to find out.
So exactly.
It's the gamble you have to take. Look, he opened up $6. Everyone said no. Obviously, because of the map, $10. If you like him, look, he's worth the gamble.
The other question mark is he hasn't won below 1,600 metres, which is interesting to note. He's won six races and they've all been between 1,600 and 2,400.
Yep.
This is 15. It's not that much difference.
No.
But look, you know, it could be that extra 100 metres might cost him the race from that barrier.
Yep.
If he has to get too far back, we don't know. But look, he's very dangerous for mine. And look, we've discussed Oban Buramai quite a bit. I've got him in my top four as well.
Yep.
Have to respect him. I saw him at Rose Hill on Wednesday morning. He's a nice looking horse.
Yep.
He's not
big, but
massive.
Compact.
Yeah, compact. He's just a flashy look. Like, all those Japanese horses look like rock stars.
Yeah.
When they walk into the mounting yard, it's quite something to behold. They're,
yep.
You know, he had the four, like, leggings, I guess, yep, you could almost say, yep, on him. And yeah, he's shining in the sunlight. No, he's a nice looking horse. And I'm worried about him. I mean, I know you've got him on top. I'm worried about him. Like, I've got so much respect for the Japanese horses because, look, even if he's not a genuine Group 1 horse,
it'd be no betting if they brought their top Group 1.
But there aren't that many Group 1 races in Japan. It's not like in Australia. There's a Group 1 on every street corner in Australia.
Yeah.
In Japan, if you're good enough to run and win or even place in a Group 1, it tells you that horse is high class.
Yep.
World class. Whether his size is what beats him from that inside barrier, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm worried about him. He could be very good.
Yeah, he goes on top for me. The second pick and the other bet I'm definitely having in the race, just quickly touching on, is Ossipenko.
Mm-hmm.
Lochte's run two back behind, obviously, the Cox Plate place getters there, Mr. Brightside, Alligator Blood. Yes, had every chance, but just thought his closing speed was good there. But the thing that's just got me in is the $7 he started in the Turnbull. I know he did fail, but I actually do like him back in distance at a genuinely run race. Started $7, as I said, behind Romantic Warrior, West Wind Blows, Gold Trip. And here he is. We're going to get $11 to find out, back to his own age, at his home track. Blinkers go on. I think he's a good bet at the $11 as well.
Yeah, he was my early pick to win the Epsom, actually. And he ended up racing down in
Melbourne. Well, yes, I thought he was a...
Yeah. Look, and after that first up run, he looked like he was in for a big spring.
Yep.
Obviously, it hasn't quite worked out in his favour since then. And that run behind Mr. Brightside, Alligator Blood, you know, look, he did have his chance from barrier one, but, you know, it was a handy performance and that form has to stack up. Yeah, I can make a case for him. Look, I think in summary, numbers in summary will be Legato, Amelia's Jewel, Kovalika, Oban Buramai. Those are my top four. My best roughie, I reckon, is Straight Acer.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he can win the race.
Yeah.
But I could see him flashing into a placing again. He just seems to be taking the right steps forward every time. He was excellent in the Silver Eagle. He went straight past Pericles and was honing in on Vienna Princess at the end of 1300. He's got a nice little draw, confident jockey on board, Tyler Schiller. Wouldn't shock me at all if he puts himself somewhere in the mix there. I don't think he can probably win the race. I think he might quite just lack that little bit of class, but... You know, if there's a horse at odds, and you quite often see it in big fields, a horse at odds can sneak into a placing somewhere, I think it might be Straight Acer.
Yeah, I'm 12 Oban Buramai on top, Ossipenko, second pick. They're my two bets in the race. Hawaii 5-0 goes in for third. I couldn't leave out Amelia's Jewel, just with that profile of consistency. But the one, if we're going to throw in a bit of a wide one around the $60 mark. Chuck in Age of Kings for a place or a first forward. Trials don't worry me. Yeah. I'm not concerned.
It's a really curious one, Age of Kings. I was trying to work out why he was that kind of price because...
if he repeats his Royal Ascot, he should be...
He's coming to the Chris Waller stable off a Group 3 win in England.
Yeah.
Yeah, his two trials haven't set the world on fire, but...
I've fallen into that
quite often. That's right.
So the blinkers go on for race day. Like
Craig Williams rides. Really interesting that he's that kind of price. So
it's worth 60-1 choice.
Look, I could see him doing something. It is another throw in the stumps. You would have liked to have seen him trial up a little bit better. But as we say, we've seen it before. So, look, that's
the eagle.
That's a fair take on the Golden Eagle. It's a doozy of a race. Good luck with whatever you're backing in that one. We've got a couple of other big features. We'll take a quick look at the $3 million Giga Kick Stakes. Obviously, the Everest winner. Think about it, goes for 10 in a row. Can Private Eye, his stablemate, go back to back?
Honestly, like, you reckon I would have learned my lesson by now? seriously, think about it. It's just too good for me every start. And I'm gonna go the stablemate. Again, I liked Private Eye in the Everest. I thought he was fantastic, where he was wide, no cover, working. He actually looms like I thought he was going to let down and win the race, but just peaked on his run there late. He won this race last year. The 1,300 metres at Rose Hill was actually his career peak figure. If he can repeat that with the kilo against, think about it, kilo better off, I should say. Nash Days, look, it's not a big betting race for me because I have so much respect for this favourite, but the $1.70 or the $1.80, I just marked them much closer together. So I'm going to lean towards Private Eye, and Marzu is not the worst roughie.
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very different run race, both to the Everest this year and to this race last year. Last year's race was a lot faster, and he was able to sit back and just storm down the middle of the track. Outside of their stablemate, Coal Crusher, who's drawn the outside, maybe Surf Dancer, if he's got enough early speed first up. There is not a lot of tempo here.
Yeah.
Think about it, has the gun draw again, barrier 3. So you would imagine he would be right on the back of whatever happens
in front.
It wouldn't shock me if he tried to take luck out of the equation a little bit and kept him one off the fence, either outside the lead or
ideally he'd look for the 1-1.
Marzu, I would imagine this time around they'll be looking for outside lead.
Yep.
That's the only spot for. Otherwise, he ends up back and in no man's land. Mm. So I'm going to go with Think About It. I tipped him second in the Everest behind I Wish I Win.
Yeah.
You've won 11 out of 12. He hasn't been beaten this year. And every time a horse comes to him, he seems to know it and fight it off. So
right.
It's going to be up to the to whoever. If he's beaten, I think he'll be ambushed late. I don't think he'll be run past at the 200 metres.
Yeah, everyone said, you know, he had every chance in the Everest, but that its last bound is so strong. Like, it's a fantastic horse. Like, 10 out of 11. What more
he
do you want?
He just knows how to win.
Yeah, just what a great horse it is. I wish I was part of the ownership, but
I know one of the owners.
Yeah,
and he's enjoying a great ride, as are the rest of them.
Well, I bet they all are, because proven thoroughbred's Private Eye,
and they stand to get a bit of a windfall through the Sprint Series bonus if he happens to win this race. There's a couple of million extra might jump in on top of the prize money. So it's staggering to think how much he's already won, just under 11 million from 12 starts.
Amazing.
Yeah. And he could add another 50% to that just about by winning.
Yeah, two hopes for me. Obviously, Think About It, Private Eye. Just going to put Private Eye on top just at the little bit of better odds.
Yep, no worries. Well, I guess those are the two features, Nick. There are other races on the day, so let's have a quick look at what we like through the day.
Yeah, we'll go straight into the rapid fire. So over the odds, I'm going to go back to race 4. It's also always had a little bit of time for is Chilanti. I just think it's a good each way bet. Mm-hmm. I really did like the favourite at the Kensington, not this week, last week. but he just got scratched there at the gates. She got scratched there at the gates. So obviously this has been a little bit of a target because she's a great first up performer. But I just thought Chalanti was fantastic there first up, just got way too far back. Yes, did miss the start and began a little bit awkwardly, but a great powerful finish, good margin to third, and drops considerably in weight here. One of these horses I like to find, drops 7.5 kilos, so it can really let down with its acceleration. So I'm happy to put Chalanti on top, getting out to the 1200 metres, and it's got some good form lines from last prep. Soft, dry, it'll be all right. Just the $6 a four was a little shade of overs.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Look, I went to the last for my overs. I thought Jedi Bill was over the odds, actually. Yep. I thought her run behind Dashing Legend was outstanding. His run, I should say. He drew the outside there and they got stuck in no man's land pretty well outside the speed. Loomed up to win the race at about the 250. And the run, I think, just told there. He's got barrier one this time around, so I'd imagine he'll be pretty well on the back of the speed. You know, he's got form around Way to the Stars, who's the early favourite from three runs back, where Way to the Stars led. Jedi Beale drew the outside barrier and went back to near last and flooded home to be beaten a length. There's, you know, a little bit of a slight advantage to Jedi Beale at the weights on that clash, and barrier one evens it up as well. So I thought he was, I think about $6, $6.50. I thought that was a little bit overs, considering he started, you know, $5.50 against Dashing Legend in that race.
Yeah.
And Dashing Legend was quite well supported. So I thought race 10, number 9 was the overs.
Yeah. Under the odds, I'm going to go, I feel a bit weak today, actually. I've probably... Race 3, number 8, Mountain Guest.
Oh, ditto, ditto.
Yeah, like 5-2, $3.50. It was okay there last week in the Wait for Age race, so back to the handicap conditions is a big tick, but $3.50, I can't come into that. I'm just going to put Peshmerga on top, third up, rolls forward in a bit of a wide, tricky staying event, which they very much can be.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Mountain Guest was unders. I couldn't possibly see how she could be favourite here. 150-1 in the Yanks. Yeah, she ran well. Started, you know, around the $10 mark in the Bathurst Cup, had its chance there. And prior to that, in a benchmark 72, it was $4.40 and, you know, ran an okay second.
Yeah.
And we got $3.50 in a benchmark 78 on a Saturday. No thanks for me. I ended up landing on Queenmaker. I know she's been around a little bit. But she's just such an honest horse. She drew for a change of luck. She comes out of a couple of benchmark 88s back to the 78. And without being bullish at all, I thought if she got the break, she could be somewhere in the finish. But
absolutely,
it'd be one of the races I have the least amount of confidence in.
Yep. Now, out wide, I'm going to go to Dubbo or Musselbrook. There's one horse that's going to go either way. Race 2 tomorrow, number 1 at Dubbo, Barry the Poet, or it'll be Musselbrook Race 2, number 4. Obviously, Barry the Poet. Coming out of a really strong race, good margins throughout, liked his closing speed, ready to win, definitely a country maiden. So, no odds yet. I'm not sure what they're going to go up, but I think he's a really good bet, Barry the Poet. So, wherever he goes, I'll be on.
Right. I haven't gone wider than Rose Hill.
Yeah, today, it's a bit like
so
that.
I'll just pass on that one, and we'll
just back Barry home.
We'll just back Barry home.
Best bets?
Yeah, best bet. Oh, look, I mean, the one that stood out for me for the best bet was Overriding, race 5, number 5.
Great.
I think I think Nathan Dawes found a perfect race for her.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out for her in the Kazoo commemorative race at Randwick a couple of weeks ago. She just stepped away slowly for some reason. I'm not really sure exactly why, but she found herself back last. And then sort of just before the home turn, she found herself sort of held up between horses or just inside horses waiting to get a run. And I thought she hit the line quite well, beaten 2.5 by those two promising horses. And look, while she does take on, you know, the males here as well, it's not a vintage field here. She gets in okay with 57, barrier 2 again. Hopefully she can step away with them, and I think this is a race she can win.
Yeah, I've always liked Overriding as a horse. I agree with you. I think it's a cracking bet there. But two best bets over the weekend for me. I am going to be with Rose Hill, race 10, number 3, Way to the Stars. I Thought it was a really strong effort there. Sit outside the leader in a fast pace, high rating race where the third place get a duel, came out and won a group two. So with Weight of the Stars and also Dubbo race two, number one, Barry the Pole, or Musclebook race two, number four, either or. So they're my two best bets, and good luck to all having a bet on a great weekend.
Huge day, Golden Eagle Day. Good luck to everyone. And look, the carnival still goes. We've got the big dance on Tuesday, and then the Golden Gift and the Five Diamonds. That's next correct. Saturday, yep. For the last of the Sydney section of the carnival. So
the show keeps rolling. The show keeps rolling.